Good morning, everyone. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ. Those of the faithful who have gathered here in my presence and those online. Scripture says, Jesus says, where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. So even though we're a little small today because of the weather. Some of the choir members, I think, will know, as I do, any of us who came from Ohio, what you're having right now is what we had when I woke up this morning. So I kept waiting for Kyle to call me and tell me we weren't going to be here today. And I got my car cleaned off, which was a little difficult with my walker, but we got it done. And it was pretty, the crazies were on the road. They were definitely on the road this morning. So we're glad everybody's here. So we had some announcements. Let's see, we got two sets of flowers. Those here by the pulpit are in memory of Valentine's birthday of Barbara Tweehues from the Tweehues family, and we thank them for that. I think I saw Steve running around somewhere before, so they're here. These over here by the baptismal fount are in celebration of Kelly and Kelsey Taylor's birthdays on the 19th and 20th of this week. Proud grandma's back there applauding, So it's to them, and it's from the family, and you'll see that there down there as well. So we're grateful for that, to have these beautiful flowers gracing our chancel today. Well, most of the announcements on the next two pages are mostly about what's going on. Just to remind you, tomorrow is the office will be closed for the holiday, for President's Day. We did find some more cookbooks, and so that's on there. Ash Wednesday starts on March 5th, and so just so you can put that on your calendar, depending on what you want to do. Last year, it fell on the same day as Lunch Bunch. But this year, it's the week before. So I wanted to do a 12 o'clock noon service for people who just wanted to come, have some prayers, a small meditation, and ashes. And so that's just a liturgy service. And this one at 7 o'clock will be the bigger service with some hymns, and we'll do ashes and communion like we did last year. John's going to help me with that. So we'll be doing that on that evening. The prayer partner list is still floating around, and we're going to do that. So that's Sunday. It's 2 weeks from today is the last Sunday to sign up. And then I'll have those ready on that first Sunday of Lent for you to pray for that partner. So if you have any more questions about what's out in the bulletin, just ask me. And then the devotional Pause for Lent will be starting on that Saturday following Ash Wednesday and continue through the Lenten season and through the second week of April, I believe. So are there any other announcements for our small but sturdy gather group of people? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we prepare to worship God this morning.
Good morning. I looked at my weather app this morning and it said we had 3.25 inches of rain yesterday, and I was thinking, my goodness, that would be a couple feet of snow if it had been a little bit colder. And then, of course, I went out the front door and there was the snow. So, not as much as they have over in Cincinnati, quarter of an inch, half an inch maybe. Anyway, those who are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. Come with the crowds who seek to touch Jesus. Come to hear and to be healed.
We are poor and hungry and in need of food for our souls.
Cursed are those who put their trust in human beings.
Blessed are those who put their trust in God and find their hope in Jesus Christ.
Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Our faith is not in vain, and our hope is sure.
Let us rejoice together in our faith and worship our God. And now please join me with the prayer of adoration and confession. God of creation, you have given us our very lives. You have loved us with a perfect love. You have redeemed us as children within your household. We come to your altar with thankful hearts. Feed us on your word
that we too may grow more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. God of forgiveness, look upon us with mercy. We have all forsaken the covenant of your love because of our selfish greed and arrogant pride. We have each gone our own way, seeking to be free from the tensions of faith. We come to you today as people in need. Forgive us and continue to hold us in your arms of love. Renew your covenant within our hearts and turn our eyes upon you. Teach us to depend upon you for our wisdom. Help us to discipline our lives so that you may be glorified and your realm increased. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Hear the good news that comes from Paul's word to the Corinthians. By the power of God, Jesus reached out to heal the afflicted and cleanse troubled spirits. When we want that transformation within and among us more than we want to cling to the past, we will know the blessing of forgiveness. Jesus has been raised from the dead and offers to lift us from the death of sin. Claim the victory over sin that comes to those who have hope in Christ. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Our first scripture reading for today comes from the prophet Jeremiah, very famous prophet of the Old Testament. Chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart, to give all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. Our second scripture reading is from the Psalms. In fact, Psalm number 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy, holy, holy,
You all should have been singing along. You all know that hymn. We sang it on Trinity Sunday. I don't know. Is it the first hymn in our hymn book here? I can't remember. In all the hymn books I grew up, that was hymn number one. Holy, holy, holy. Always was there. As we continue in our scripture lessons, though, we're going to hear from the Gospel of Luke. It's in the sixth chapter. It's verses 17 through 26. The rubric in the New Revised Standard Bible is the first little paragraph is about Jesus teaches and heals, and then he has these listings of what they call blessings and woes. So here are these words from Luke. He, speaking of Jesus, came down with them, and those are the disciples, and they stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And they had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. And then he looked up at his disciples and he says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. And blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on the account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what the ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the group that I sort of interact with for sermon study, one of the fellows had been surfing the internet, and he found a humorous little piece. It's called The Lesson, and he found it on a website of a United Methodist church, and it goes like this. "Then Jesus took his disciples up the mountain, and gathering them around him, he taught them, and he said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the merciful, blessed are you when persecuted.' And then Simon Peter says, 'Do we have to write this down?' And Andrew said, 'Are we supposed to know this at the end of the day?' And James says, 'Are we going to have a test on this?' And John said, 'Well, those other disciples, they didn't have to know this.' And Judas says, 'What does this have to do with real life?' And then one of the Pharisees, who is in those stories, there's always a Pharisee standing off on the side. And the Pharisee asked Jesus to see his lesson plan and inquired of Jesus his terminal objectives in the cognitive domain. And the ending line is, "And Jesus wept." Any of us who have taught know how resistant people can be to those lessons we're trying to teach them. Especially, I find out, and it's true for me as well, when what I'm trying to learn challenges my intellect, when we're challenging people to rethink or to look at something differently, and so we challenge them, and we do the same things. We ask those same questions in that story. And that's why we sort of smiled and chuckled, because we all done that somewhere in our lives in this journey of learning. But it's a tough lesson, and that's what it's an advanced lesson, if you will, of what true discipleship is to be. So in this gospel lesson, the way at least the theologians and the scholars, it's placed right prior to this is when Jesus calls the apostles and by name, and there's that whole list of them. And so I think he's responding because he has been observing how they have been acting after he has named them and appointed them. And he thinks that, I believe, this is me reading into it. They feel, oh, they're sort of pumped up. They've given these prestigious appointments. Jesus has called us to be in this closed body, these new assignments, you know. And then Jesus goes to outline the blessings and their new assignments. What they would bring would be poverty and hunger and weeping and hatred and exclusion and insults and rejection. And they'd say, that ain't what I signed up for, you know. And you can sort of see he's trying to tell, you know. So they thought it would be easier at the top. It might be less demanding. Oh, I could delegate, you know, all this ministry stuff to somebody else. I don't have to do it. There's a pecking order. Well, in this advanced lesson, Jesus is sort of saying, well, that's not really the way it is. It's that a blessed life or blessed life, however you want to pronounce that word, is not paved with riches and comfort. It doesn't give you status and prestige, but there comes a sense of humility and sacrifice and the willingness that you might want to lose everything to gain everlasting life. And I know I share with you a lot about my ordination, but part of the ritual you do in an ordination all has meaning. And so part of it, once you ask, they ask me the questions, or they ask any ordinand the question, you're asked to come and you kneel, and all the ordained clergy present come, they try to put their hands on your head, as many as they can, and then they press down while for me it was the association minister who ordained me, offers a prayer. And then during the message, it was Randy or Art Wademan who did my ordination, and Art spoke through the sermon to explain part of it. The stoles we wear are like yokes, that we take on that part of responsibility of being a pastor. But that pressing down on the heads was to remind us of the burden of ministry that we have taken on. And so I think there's a paradox. Because I think most clergy I've talked to in my lifetime, when we all accepted the call to do this, you know, you think more about what I'm doing right now. You think about preaching. You think about pastoral care. You don't think about, like yesterday we had a 3-hour leadership team meeting. You don't think about that, you know, or the hard stuff. You know, and there's a paradox in being a Christian disciple. The greater the burden, the greater the blessing sometimes. Or the greater the loss, the greater the gain. The greater the risk, the greater the reward. You know, Mark writes and says, speaking about this, the Gospel of Mark, he says, but whoever loses their life for my sake and for the gospel will have it. And so it's not about losing the life we live, but it's maybe giving up something that we're doing currently. And sometimes, for me, when things have to be changed or there's a paradox, I don't know if it's every atom or every cell in my body seems to resist that sometimes. Because sometimes, you know, you think, I remember having this early on in my career talking to fellow clergy, you know, is not Christian discipleship just a little bit of a burden and a lot of blessing? That we really want it to be that way. And there is a blessing. There is this feeling of gratitude that comes with it. But after a while, after I thought about it, I think deep down, love is more demanding than that, which is really what we're about. And love doesn't stop, or caring doesn't stop, until everyone is taken care of. And those needs are met, whoever they are. And whether it's wrongs that need to be righted, or people who need to be saved. And by saving, I mean to bring them to Christ so they understand how you and I use that term, grounded, why we're here, that we need to share that with people. When I got thinking about discipleship, I was thinking of two of my fellow clergy who are now both deceased, but it jogged my memory when I was in seminary. There was a young man, we were both young then, that reminded me of them. And we had gone through the first year of seminary together, and you have to work in an institution where you can't talk religious talk. And the last 2 years, I was in a congregation as a student pastor, and Dave was working and some other things. So we're sitting at lunch one day, and I'm worried about the curriculum I had to teach the youth group that week, because that was part of my responsibilities. And he's worried about going to court with some guy and being able to get done in that court appearance so he could go to a peace rally in downtown Dayton, Ohio that day. And he didn't help the poor. He dressed simply. He ate simply. He lived simply. And when I ask him why, he says, well, you know, why did you have such dedication to this caste of society, the poor? And he says, because that's what discipleship is for me. And when I do it, I get a sense of peace. When I came into ministry, when I was growing up, I grew up at Price Hill UCC. And all of us who grew up as high-end baby boomers knew Jim Egbert down at Camp Washington. Jim lived like that. Now, he became my colleague. And he lived like my friend Dave. And then there was Bob Beck, and Bob used to be the pastor down at the old Freeman Avenue Church down in the West End. And he lived like that. And in those three fellows, I think, they discovered the riches of the kingdom by just being present for these individuals in places where you and I may not go, or we're not comfortable about being there. And they became full in reaching out to these other people. And so this burden of discipleship I'm trying to talk to you about became their sense of peace and a grounding, because that's what they felt called to be and to do. And so no matter what they looked like to me, those three guys were blessed. God had blessed them. And I think that's the word that's really important. It's whether you say blessed or blessed, however you pronounce it. I mean, it's sometimes, even in the song, it came up happy. Sometimes it's interpreted as happy. And the Good News Version does that. This whole set of Beatitudes we sort of read, these, well, some say happy. But in the word study, I think sometimes that the word that's used could really be more congratulations. So congratulations, you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. I don't think Jesus was congratulating them in the way we understand that word. But I think he was congratulating any who would understand the secret of love of how you take care of other people. And that's beneath all of that. And in my life and in studying this text, I don't know how many times now in 40 years, is that this Sermon on the Plain, which is what we call it, doesn't simply outline what we should be. What it is, it's describing who we are as children of God. It describes who we are. And so I think part of living a life as a follower of Jesus or as a Christian means that, you know, you allow the Spirit to move you every day. And no matter the interactions, it doesn't have to be a quote-unquote religious interaction with somebody. You're just caring for somebody, because that's what we do for other human beings. And as long as there are people who are hungry, and it doesn't have to be with food, they're hungry for companionship, they're hungry for a conversation, there's a spiritual void or an emotional something that's missed, they just need to be noticed. And so as people, we do that, do we share with one another. And we say in the church all the time, we laugh together, when one laughs, we all laugh, when one cries, we all cry. That's part of being loving one another and being in a group that cares for one another. And when you do that, you can endure whatever comes your way. When I researched on Google Beatitude Stories, there's a thing called Beatitude Stories, and it's written by Charles Menefee. And in this article, he was retelling the story of Anne Frank, which I hadn't read for a while. And if you know it real quick, she was a young Jewish girl, hid from the Nazi troops, was captured, taken to a concentration camp, and then was... she and her family died there. But before they were discovered, they lived like in an attic in a little storage space in a cramped quarters, little food or water, and constant terror. She kept a journal, which ends up being the diary of Anne Frank, the book. But right before her arrest, Menefee reminds us in this article that she refused to abandon her ideals and that she still thought that there was good in people and upheld that belief. And the quote from her journal just weeks before the gas chamber took her life says, "I still believe that people are really good at heart." I mean, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the movie that just came out not last fall, that was all about the same idea. He was one of those that was there. And they kept looking for the good in individuals, even when they were in a really bad situation. I've not been in that sort of a situation. Most of us haven't. But how do you hold strong to your beliefs and the love that you have for the individuals in your circle of friends? So when I think about, you know, Dave and Bob and Jim and Anne Frank and anybody that has that where they stand up, where I may not, you know, I have to give them props for that because they are really sharing their faith in a different way than I do. And it's still being faithful. And so we support the way we can. So on Super Bowl Sunday, we collected food that went to Camp Washington. That's our way of supporting that. We have a pantry that we take care of every month. We take care of individuals here in Newport. We do what we can with what we have. And part of the reason we do that is because we know there's a need. And so that's helping others. We also have to figure out, how do we feed ourselves? How do you feed your soul? How do you feel comfortable where you are, with who you are, with what you do about living in this world? And so every once in a while, I'm going to be like that story I shared with you at the beginning. I sometimes, when I read a text, I'll say, do I really need to learn this? Do I really need to understand this? Is there going to be a test at the end of the day? And I found over life, I think if you're comfortable with what you do and you treat everybody as equally as you can and you love everybody, that's all that's needed. So this is an advanced lesson for us to look at this and to see how we can live our life in this paradox. And I'm sort of leading up, in a couple weeks we're going to be Lent, and that's what Lent becomes. And so we need to start thinking about that now so that when we enter into that season of the church calendar year, we are thinking about who we are in this people of God thing and share with one another the love we have received. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today, I decided we would go old school. I don't know when's the last time you did the Nicene Creed. I don't do it very often. And you can look at it, and the reason why, it's long. And it's repetitive, but it's a statement from the faith. So I don't use it very often. But I thought we need to hear the words occasionally. So I'm going to invite those who are able to stand as we affirm our faith and then stay standing for our hymn. So together we affirm our faith. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of being with the Father, through all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys and or concerns to be brought forth to this community of faith this morning? If not, in the bulletin, you'll know we always have the prayer lists that are there, the homebound for the week, birthdays and anniversaries. So to send cards or acknowledge if you know those individuals. The two UCC churches in Northern Kentucky is Emmanuel and Bromley. They're right now in the search process, making some decisions. And Christ UCC in Fort Thomas, where Ed Good is pastor. Reverend Andrew Birkin, the update is he's improving again a little bit. It's still slow. There is some recognition. They're bringing him down off that drug-induced coma. Still worried about his lungs, but he's starting to breathe better. So we continue. It's just a slow process, and so we continue to pray for he and his family. This coming week, on the 18th, Chuck Shea will be having surgery. You'll be in hospital 2 days and about a week off of work. Is that still the plan? Still the plan? All right. You call me, okay? And then I have two that were shared with me. One was Pat Goins texted me. She and Dan were heading to Louisville yesterday morning. A dear friend of theirs, Bob Stafford, passed away that morning. They went down to be with the family. And so we pray for that family as well. Yvonne Daniels, we found out that last Sunday she had fallen. And when John went to visit her yesterday, she was in a neck brace. And she had broken a couple vertebrae up here in her neck. I think it's 4 and 5. And she was going to come to church today. That was the plan. Yesterday was nice. That was the plan. And he said, and sort of the joke, and since John and I are the same age, dad jokes fly pretty well sometimes. And he, because the one joke that you always know is, it's black and white and red all over, and that's a newspaper. And he said, but his question was, who is black, blue, and purple, and will be at church tomorrow? And you know how Yvonne is, for those of you who know her. So I'm sure she wanted to be here, but just was not, that the snow is not going to make it possible for them. So when we talk about all these things, we have our fellow sister churches, we have individuals who are preparing for surgery, we have those who have injured themselves, we have people who are in grief and mourning for loss of a loved one in their lives. We have things going on in the world that we don't always fully understand, and things are constantly changing, and we wonder why. And so we ask the same questions the disciples ask. And so we ask that, but we ask them to God. And we ask about God to help us to discern is the term that we use in the faith a lot, that we discern what we need to do and what we need to be about. So as we struggle with living in our personal lives and what's going on in the world, let us think about those things, how God can help us. So as we do that, let us center ourselves a little bit, as we have been doing, and take time to take a breath and let it out. Breathe in God and breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in God. Breathe out. God, today we have gathered together in this place to worship, to hear the words of Jesus, to seek what he's teaching us. We want to feel his presence, his spirit. But most of all, we want to learn of his love for us. You've given us the gifts which we know that come through music, or through a smile, or a tear, a sigh, a shout, laughter, weeping, a prayer. Silence. The beauty of being together on this day. So all these things have meaning, oh God. So help us understand how that affects us. And may we offer our gratitude and praise for living life in this place. We always pray for the church, oh God, not just this particular congregation, but our sister congregations and the church in the broad sense of the term. And sometimes we're together and unified, sometimes not. But we work together to share the good news of your Son, Jesus the Christ. And so may that Spirit continue to be not only with us, but with all those who are in the work of sharing the good news. That we might be one in the Spirit, that we can continue to help your church to appreciate the gifts that each one of us have, and that we can share them with one another. We always pray for the world, O God, the one in which we live, and the small sphere that we work within, but there's also the bigger world. So we pray for those who are struggling, for those who are hungry, for those who are healing and hurting. We pray for peace. We pray for understanding. We pray for some way of negotiating without anyone going to war. But most of all, God, we pray for ourselves and for the lives, for the people that touch us most importantly. And we pray for the love that you have gifted us, and we thank you for it, that we can share that with others. We ask that you be with those we have lifted aloud and silently this day, that your Spirit may touch them in ways that we do not fully comprehend, but that we know that they will be remembered in some way, shape, or form by us and those who are praying for them. But most of all, God, we thank you for the presence of your Son, Jesus, who has graced us this day and will continue to be with us when we go our separate ways. And so we offer this prayer in Jesus' name, with a prayer that he has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Unless we plant and water, how will God give the growth? If we do not share, how will others be fed? If we hoard God's love, how can new life burst forth into the world? Surely we are instruments of God, co-workers who can make a difference in the world. One way is through proportionate giving of our substance and ourselves. The ushers may now come forward.
We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him.
Trust in God and not in might, for in our darkness he is light. We walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes trials come our way, we don't know what to do or say, but we know
Please join me in our prayer of dedication. Lord of life, we have received so very much from you. From the beginning, you have loved us and have given yourself for us. You have comforted us in times of sorrow. You have inspired us in times of joy. You have walked with us in times of uncertainty. As you have poured yourself out for us, let us give to you now our tithes, gifts, offerings, and ourselves, cheerfully and with visions of what you can accomplish in Jesus' name. Amen. When my mother played the organ and we would sing that last hymn, it was a little schmaltzier than the way Michael plays it. There were more trust and obey, for there's no... But she would pause and there's these great dramatic moments. But it's the way we learn God's word, is that we sing the hymns, we hear God's word read, and we share the good news with those who need to hear it. And so we have been faithful today. Not as many as we would like, but we have to trust common sense ruled the day, and folks stayed home to be safe. I'm glad you're here. Be safe going home. Until we meet again, let us go in the name of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go in peace. Amen.